Blog Talk Radio.
Tune in to the hottest sports talk show.
I've never had it so good, sports radio.
Join us weekdays at 7 p.m. Stories about players and coaches of all levels. We make it easy to talk sports.
Thank you.
again in circles. Think I heard it all. We've been here before, but we need something more. Something more. Something more. What you said, I can't hear, cause you
ain't talking about nothing.
And Day Recruiting, and we're switching over to the new platform here and getting started. I am so excited to have everybody with me and to be a part of National Signing Day. We're going to get Coach Willie Miller in here, also Nick Emerson. We're going to get Travis McGee back over too to be a part of the show with us. And it's been a good day. It's been a good day. We've had a lot of people on now, and we're going to get ready for the home stretch. We're going to have a lot of different coaches call in and be a part of Never Had It So Good and National Signing Day. Tyree Cleveland, wide receiver, committed to Florida. Brenton Jones committed to Texas. And we had a flip this morning. Tyler Byrd, he flipped from Miami over to Tennessee. And, you know, that means that Bush Jones is really getting what he wants and what he needs. And then Trayvon Mullen committed to Clemson this morning. So what surprises will we have this afternoon? Will Rashawn Gary, we won't be on live at that point, but we will get it in here on Facebook. Make sure to check out our page. To Rashawn Gary, Coach Miller said Clemson. Nick Emerson is right there with him. Clemson, you know, let's see what happens. But let's go ahead and get Coach Miller in here and recap this morning. Coach Miller, how you doing?
I'm here. Fantastic.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. What do you think about where we are in some of the coaches we've had on this morning? Coach Browning, let's start with him. 93 young men committing this morning. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, he's on the grind. And the beauty about Coach Browning, he understands that it's not his job to try to get everyone at a Division I school or, as I call them, television schools. He seemed to understand that the job is to get these kids in school, period, to further their life and get an education. And so, you know, the guys that understand that, those are the guys that they do a good job. You know, Coach Ballard, he understands that. You know, it's just getting these guys prepared and letting them use this avenue of football to get educated. Because first and foremost, that's where it's at. We got to have it. The last young man we just spoke to, I used to always talk about a 10-20-year decision. And he said it's a 40-year decision, you know, because you're creating legacies for your grandkids and things of that nature, you know. So we had a great morning. Great, great guys came on. Everybody had a lot of good things to say. Good job.
Yeah, a lot of great things to say. Let's go ahead and get Travis back in here, and then we have some coaches already holding on. We're going to get them back in here too. I also like having Tony Ballard on, and, you know, he gets to sit back and realize the fruits of his labor. Four players that are now on Division I campuses is pretty good. And to say that he's had these young men all of their teenage lives even better as they get ready for what's going on. So talk about Tony Ballard for about 30 seconds, and then we'll get some more callers in. Coach Miller?
Hello? Oh, yeah,
okay,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to Coach Emerson.
No.
Well, I mean, what he's done is tremendous. You know, I mean, you're talking about quarterbacks. you know, you get a running back, you're giving the ball, man, you know these guys can run, but the quarterback is such a skill set position. And for what he done, and obviously when he got the kids, they can put their arm up in the air and throw the ball. But, you know, he's critiqued their technique and made it where, you know, they're a hot commodity, you know. And also he's impacted their lives. You know, for a kid to get on campus early in December, that means he's in. That tells me he's imparting a little more than football in them. He's on them about their grades, about their character. So the other thing, you can have good grades, but if you don't got a good character, I don't want you on the campus early, you know. So he's imparting some good things in them. So Coach Ballard is doing a great job at what he's doing. His name right now is preceding him, you know. But he's done a great job, you know. And obviously, when you hear him talk, you hear his knowledge of the game. You know, I heard him over there talking about, I'm not an offensive line guy. And he's talking about kick blocking and things like that. So he knows the game. And that's good, you know.
He definitely knows the game. He knows how to recognize the game. Of course, being a quarterback guru, which is what he's called here, HustleInQuarterback.com. Go check out Tony Ballard. Let's go ahead and get on Gerald Reed, Coach Gerald Reed out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Gerald, how you doing?
Just fine. How are you today, Princess?
I'm doing really good. Coach Miller, go ahead and say hello to Coach Gerald Reed for me.
Hey, Coach Gerald Reed, how you doing, sir?
How you doing, Mr. Miller?
Fantastic.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show. Nice to hear your voice. I want you to tell me, he is an Arkansas Razorback, Coach Miller. Gerald, tell me about what's going on with the Razorbacks and the impact you think they'll make. And then I want you to end it with, you know, your thoughts about Britt Bielema and what he's done so far. But let's start with recruiting and the Razorbacks.
Well, it looks like so far today they've had 21 players submit their letters of intent. Of course, you know, their big name athletes were, of course, McTelvin Ajeem. He's a defensive end out of Arkansas. He was the number one rated player out of Arkansas. And they also ended up with, it was Georgia's loss because Georgia actually had Devoir Whaley committed to them. But when they fired Coach Mark Richt, he decided to go ahead and come on board with the Razorbacks. So that was a big gift for them. But what really I really like about this class is they finally decided to actually go after some bigger linebackers, some SEC-sized linebackers. You know, they have a couple kids that are 235, 240-pound linebackers coming out of high school. So I think that was a real problem area for them last year. Their offense was great. I think, you know, they'll probably miss a beat with Brandon Allen leaving and going pro. But they have some pretty good quarterbacks actually on board. They're very young at the quarterback position, but they got the big kid from USC that actually transferred to Arkansas, Ricky Towns, and they have a couple four-star prospects from last year. So they're looking good at the quarterback position. Of course, they're always loaded at running back. So you know, I'm real happy with what they did as far as the defensive line and the linebackers. So we'll see what happens with Christian Fulton later on today if he decides to sign. Of course, we lost Tyree Cleveland to your Gators today. I was reading about his aunt because he lives in Houston with his aunt. So he was actually committed to Houston and he flipped to Florida, but his aunt really wanted him to go to Arkansas. But she said it was his decision, so he decided to go the Florida route. So, but we'll see what we get with Christian if he decides to follow his teammate, Briston Guidry, from Louisiana to Arkansas.
Yeah, you know what? In Cleveland, it had to be about, too, instant playing time and being in an offense now that is a little bit more wide open than what Will Muschamp was trying to do. So, and I don't know what inside scoop. I think, you know, Vernon Hargrave's father is Vernon Hargrave Sr., coaches for Houston, and I don't know if that pipeline worked. I don't know what happened there, but he did flip and come on to Florida. So I'm happy about that for sure. Now tell me your thoughts and what the sentiment is in Razorback Nation about Britt Bielema in general.
Well, I think Britt is bringing, to me, more NFL attitude where he can actually get kids to the NFL. That was the big problem that you really had looking back at the last few Arkansas coaches. The kids weren't actually getting there, and he has a pedigree of getting kids to the NFL. I think once I think this particular class that he actually has going in this year will help the Arkansas program. But ultimately, it comes down to he has to start winning in the SEC.
Yeah.
He gets on those spurts at the end of the season, but he has to start the season off strong. There were some losses this year that you look at that team and you say, how did that happen? And, you know, then you fight strong against teams like Alabama. You go and you blow out the LSUs and you beat Ole Misses and Auburns and teams like that, and you get beat by, FCS school. So those are the things that he has to get corrected. I think he has them on the right track. He's doing things that they haven't done. This year, he closed out strong really with recruiting because he actually got 6 commitments just this weekend alone.
Wow.
And that was strong. And he actually went after some of the bigger names. When you look at the Tyree Clevelands and Jones that actually signed with Texas, Texas took a couple kids, but he's going after the bigger name kids, the Kyle Porters, the Brandon Jones, whereas this is something that Arkansas wasn't doing before. They were content with closing out with the 3-star recruits, the 2- and 3-star recruits, just to fill in their class. But Brett Bielema decided, hey, I'm going after some 4- and 5-star recruits to end the cycle. But I think he needs to go ahead and throw his hat in earlier on those recruits, because I think that's why he didn't get a few of them to actually sign, because he went at them late in the game. So he has to, you know, say, hey, we're a class program now. We're on the map. We're getting a good reputation as a program. We have great facilities here. So let's go after these bigger name players. But ultimately, it comes down to he has to put an SEC West championship under his belt.
That's
going to be hard.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's hard, but he has to do it. You know, you don't have that pedigree of LSU, because LSU is another one that hasn't won anything in a long time. But they get the recruits because they have the pedigree. They have the name. So he has to go out there and make the name. I think he's going there. He's trending in the right direction. So I definitely think he can do it. He's the coach that I really hope brings this program back to prominence. If he can keep his core coaches. That was his biggest thing in Wisconsin, was he kept losing assistants. And he actually lost one of his best assistants this year, which was his offensive line coach, Sam Pittman. He left and went to Georgia. And Kirby Smart was actually trying to get his offensive coordinator too, but he had a no-compete clause, so he couldn't leave and go to Georgia. That's his biggest thing. If he can keep his offensive coordinator, I think that they're gonna be okay, and they're gonna be able to raise the name of this program.
Awesome. That's what I wanted to hear, is to get the Razorback perspective. As I said, it's kind of hard to compete in that division. You seem to kind of knock each other off over and over. LSU, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State has emerged a little bit enough to compete. And then, you know, you have the Alabamas and the Auburns. And speaking of Auburn, Coach Miller, do you have something that you want to say about Nate Craig Myers?
Well, Press is number 2 wide receiver in the nation, we think. Now, we know, you know, those numbers don't mean a whole lot till you get between that chop, you know.
Yeah.
That transition from high school to college football. But that was a big pickup. Actually, we just signed 4 wide receivers that could play immediately, you know. That's unheard of. We got Kyle Davis out of right here in Loganville, Georgia, Lawrenceville, Georgia. We've got the Stovall kid out of Knightsville. Those are three kids that can play immediately, you know, with their size and their stature. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So, they're pretty excited down there. We're pretty excited. We just got to make sure we got somebody throwing the ball, you know. I don't need him running no jet sweeps all the time.
You know, that was my question about Auburn. You know, I say, who's going to get them the ball? Because their quarterback situation, between that team and LSU, I say, what is going on? they get these beautiful receivers and these great running backs, and then their quarterback just can't get the ball to them. You know,
well, you know, we had to see it, Jeremy Johnson, and Coach, you know, it's one thing throwing 7-on-7. You can throw ropes all over the place.
Right.
You know? But you get out there 11-on-11 and things moving around, and you got to be able to find that receiver. You know, and I think he struggled with, you know, picking up defenses and finding his receivers with everything moving around. So, you know, a guy told him and say, hey, well, they're moving around on 7-on-7. Yeah, there's nobody coming at you either for the most part, you know. And there's a difference. I think that's where he struggled at. He has a rifle, but is he that guy? I don't know, because if he couldn't do it last year, I don't see him being able to do it this year. You know, 1 year is not going to make that much of a difference. I mean, you got to change your offense. I think Franklin kid is going to come in and, you know, give him a good run for his money with throwing the football.
Well, I don't think that Gus Malzahn offense is too quarterback friendly if you're a passing quarterback. I mean, that offense is designed for really – it's a power run game is what it is.
It is.
It's actually running out of the spread. And, you know, because Malzahn was actually at Arkansas also.
Right.
And when he was there, you know, our quarterback situation was terrible. It wasn't until Petrino and Bielema got there that we actually had anything as far as any type of quarterback success. So – that offense, you know, it's because I've run something similar to that, and it's not quarterback friendly. I mean, as far as throwing the ball downfield, yes, you're going to get some jet sweeps and some screen passes out of there to get your wide receivers involved. Now, me personally, that's why I don't understand why quarterbacks go to programs like, I mean, wide receivers go to Auburn, because you're only going to have one standout wide receiver at a time. It's not something where they have multiple receivers that are getting the ball. Jeremy Johnson, he has a tendency to lock on to one receiver, and that's where he's going. He made his pre-snap read, and that's it. That's where he's going with the ball, and he's going to stare him down. So, you know, they have the receivers. I just want to see how to utilize them down in Auburn.
And trying to, you know, his problem, he's trying to wait for the receiver to get open. You know,
right.
You can't hold that ball. You can't hold that ball.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't. Guys, hold on right there. Let's go ahead. Come on, Coach Miller. I don't think you give him enough credit, but stay right there, Coach Miller and Coach, Joe Reed, and also stay right there, Travis. Let's get Coach Kevin Johnson in from Pace Academy and get some thoughts on him. And Coach, welcome to the show. Coach Johnson, do I have you with me?
Yes, you got me.
All right. Hi, how are you today?
Doing well. About you?
Doing really good. Say hello to Travis McGee, Gerald Reed, and Willie Miller for me. I have them on the show also.
How you doing, Coach?
Hello, Coach.
Coach, how you doing?
All right.
This is Travis. How are
doing
you?
Well. Doing well. Thank you.
All right.
How you doing?
Johnson,
thanks for coming on.
Before you get started, Princess, let them all know that I'm sitting right here with my helmet.
Listen, none of these coaches are going to put you on the field, Travis. Travis McGee, Morehouse.
The serious Morehouse flashbacks, you know.
Okay. Class of 1984, Coach Travis McGee. Travis McGee, it is over.
Ooh, yeah, you're done. You're done.
Thank you.
Coach, Coach, can you stick a fork in it? Yeah, he's done.
He's done.
He's done. Fork in that one. 84.
All
wow.
Right. Well, Coach Kevin Johnson, Pace Academy, played for the Gamecocks and has a son now in the middle of college football in Kevin Johnson, coached by Tony Ballard. So let's talk about my boy Kevin, Lil' Kev, first, and then we'll get back to Pace Academy and what you're doing on National Signing Day. Tell me how Lil' Kev is doing.
Lil' Kev is doing well. He's doing well. I just talked to him last night, and then, you know, things are looking up for him. And you know, this year was kind of a slow year this year. Had a young man in front of him that, you know, did really well. Kevin's looking forward to this year to compete and hopefully win the job, you know.
Yeah. So now what piece of advice are you giving him to keep him level-headed?
Well, actually, you know, when you're 18, 19 years old, you gotta let them fill it out for themselves, in some sense. So,
yeah.
You know, I went from parenting to guiding now. So it's like, you know, you can't parent anymore because they're out their home. So you just gotta try to help guide them in the right position. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you know, all you can do is give them positive feedback and hopefully take the life lessons he's learned thus far and applying to, you know, both school and on the field.
Yes, sir. I like that. You go to guiding. So now National Signing Day and Pace Academy, what are you all doing today?
Well, we just got back, actually. We went down to the College Hall of Fame. We got 8 guys today that signed. And we'll do something else this afternoon after school in front of the whole entire school. So, you know, the Hall of Fame, College Hall of Fame, they put on a great show. And,
yes.
I mean, every year they might have maybe like 3,000 or 2,000 student athletes that come through there, and I'll tell you what, it's second to none. It's second to none,
yeah.
First class, everything. And so we definitely really enjoyed it. I mean, we got us in and got us out, basically, you know.
Okay. Awesome, awesome. So now tell me your thoughts about your Gamecocks and Will Muschamp. What do you see for them? Are you hopeful that this is a turnaround? It seems like Steve Spurrier, those 3 straight 11-2 seasons, lost a little bit of energy, lost a little bit of passion, and the kids seem to stop playing for him this last year. What do you think about this move with Ray Tanner has done and brought in Will Muschamp and let him go?
Well, one of the things that I've seen for the past 2-3 weeks, you know, Muschamp and his staff have done an outstanding job, and Muschamp actually came by the school. You know, just, you know, sat down and talked with the head coach, talked to myself, and then, you know, they're getting themselves out there. And you know, he said the right things, you know, that they want to recruit, you know, in-house first, which means the South Carolina kids first, and then they want to kind of branch out, get a few Georgia, Florida kids here and there, whatever. And he came to Georgia and did a good job, and he got a big steal, Banks. And, you know, I thought getting that kid from North Carolina was a big steal. You know, Banks,
yeah.
Corey Banks was committed to North Carolina, and up until two, three weeks ago, he flipped, and then he signed today with South Carolina. So I thought that was a good steal for him. They got some good running backs this year. You know, they're looking for linemen. You know, so that's why, you know, those guys are here almost every week. You know, we got 2 of the best linemen in the country. And we got one that's 2017, we got one 2018. So those guys are, you know, definitely on the heels. And hopefully, you know, we'll see at the end of the day what happens with our linemen. But, you know, I know South Carolina is definitely looking at these guys hard.
Yeah. So let's talk about Pace Academy. State champions this year?
State champions this year, yes, ma'am. Double-A champions. It's a great run. We went 13-2. We lost 2 games. We lost 2 back-to-back games, one versus Wesleyan School and the other one versus GEC. And both games we didn't do well. You know, we fumbled the ball, and, you know, we didn't play up to snuff. And, you know, from that point on, after we took that loss, 33, I guess it was like 33-10 or 33-3 to GAC, something like that. You know, we didn't look back, and you know, we got through our season, you know, went into the playoffs, and you know, we played all number 1 seeds because being the number 4 seed, and so we had a good run. We had a good run, and basically we just bowled up, and you know, we got 22 personnel, 21 personnel. We just ran it down people's throats, and you know, hey, if you stop that, you put 10 in the box. You know, we got one of the best receivers in the state of Georgia, Trey Blunt. We just aired the ball out to him, and along with, you know, Trey Blunt and his supporters, you know. So so I thought we did a good job. We mixed things up, and, you know, we kind of kept, you know, people on their heels, basically. They didn't know whether or not we was going to run, we was going to throw. They didn't know what we was going to do. So, and defensively, man, it was second to none. You know, those guys gave up 13.5 points a game. You know, so when your defense can give up that few points per game, you know, you're destined to win a game, you know, a championship. So, you know, but yeah, so you know, it's over now. So now it's time to reload. You know.
Yeah. time to reload. Yeah. The last question before I let you go is, tell me your thoughts, Panthers Broncos Super Bowl Sunday.
Well, you know what. Normally I let little Cass do all the picking for me, but you know, little Kevin's a Peyton Manning. He's a one. You know, he's a fan of Peyton Manning's, and then I know he's going with the GOAT. But I'm gonna go with Cam Newton. I like his energy. I like what he's about. You know, he definitely represents the state of Georgia well, and I think he's gonna pull it out. And you know, I know everyone is getting to this, you know, black quarterback, white quarterback crap. And you know what? At the end of the day, that young man is a football player, and he's a hell of a football player. And you know, he got a good supporting cast around him, and I think those guys are gonna pull it out. You know, if you guys watch the game, you know the way I watch the game, you know, Peyton Manning, the Broncos, offensively they didn't play well. You know, the defense kept them in the game, and the kicker kept them in the game, basically. You know, so yeah. I just think if Cam Newton and the Panthers come out on hitting on cylinders, it's going to be a long night for the Denver Broncos. But I don't think Denver Broncos defense is going to allow him to just to walk all over them like that. So it's going to be a slugfest, I believe.
Well, you know what? Sure. You brought that up, Kevin, and I want to end the show with this. Tell me your thoughts, and I'm going to go through the panel with this, and I'll start with you first so we can let you go. Mm-hmm. But give me your thoughts about this whole black quarterback thing and the fact that Cam Newton said you've never seen anything like me. You know, there have been some like him, but I don't think they've been, you know, 6'6", 240 pounds. I don't think Randy Cunningham was that. Of course, Mike Vick wasn't that. You know, there's mm-hmm. Doug Williams out there, but he's not the first one to have success in the NFL. So why is it that he rubs people the wrong way? And is it culture or is it his race?
I think it's more culture than race.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen as you know, I've been through the circuit long enough with my own child, and yeah, we've seen some things where, you know. It was a black and white type of thing, you know. But at the end of the day, you can spend that ball, you know. And that's what people look at. But for him, it's more of a culture thing because of, you know, the dance thing, the antics, and things of that nature. And I'm big on. And like I said, I'm not discrediting him at all, you know. But I'm big on, you know, score your touchdown, act like you've been there before, give the referee the ball. And if you want to pray and praise God, hey, I'm with you. You know, with all the antics and dancing and all that stuff, you know, I can take it or leave it, be honest with you. But that's him. He's having fun. He said a comment the other day, which is so true. He was like, until you've lived in his shoes and played in front of 80,000, 40,000, you know, fans in the NFL, you wouldn't know what it feels like. You know, I've played in front of 100,000 fans, and I know what it feels mm-hmm. like. I don't know what it feels like to score a touchdown because I was an offensive lineman. But I understand what he's saying, and it makes a lot of sense. And you know what? If that's him and he's having fun doing that and he's not hurting anyone and he's just giving people joy, then I'm all for it, you know. And I see the smiles he's putting on these kids' faces.
That's
you know,
right.
I love it. You know, I'm a big advocate, you know, for kids. And I love, you know, to see these guys smile after you present them with a ball. And you just never know what lives – you would change by him doing these things, you know. So like I said, I raised my son a little different. You know, my son, he'll score a touchdown, he'll throw a touchdown. You know, he'll acknowledge the guy who caught it or he ran it in and, you know, run to the sideline. I mean, that's just him. That's his demeanor. But, you know, other guys, there's some other guys that's, you know, really excited, you know, and that's what they do. They dance, they dab and all this other stuff, you know, and mm-hmm. you know, so – you know, like I said, I like Cam Newton as a person, and you know, talked to his dad a few times. I like his dad, and so you know, I have nothing against that young man. And like I said, as long as he continues on putting the joys on people's face and on these young kids' face, I'm all for him.
Amen. I like that. I like what you're saying there. Mm-hmm. So, Kevin Johnson, have a great day, National Signing Day. Enjoy the rest of it, and congratulations to Pace Academy State Champions. I saw that, and I wanted to go ahead and congratulate you. And maybe we'll get together and go to a Florida Gamecock game and see if we can hang out together, okay?
Hey, we hope we can get you out to a Pace Academy game. And, you know, we have a big rival game coming up, you know, soon, you know, middle of the year versus – you know, Westminster, actually, and they won the state
okay.
championship in 3A. And so we'd love to get you come out there and you know, come hang out with us guys and really see what, you know, Pace Academy is about. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, have a misunderstanding what Pace Academy is about when it comes to sports and academics. And, you know, one of the things, you know, we pride ourselves of being like a Duke University, a Stanford University. We want to be the best at everything, academics, sports, you know, theater, whatever we decide we want to do, we want to be the best at it. So I think we got one, I think we got the best, you know, football coaching staff in the country, to be honest with you. You know, from all walks of the world and all different type of experiences. And, you know, we would love for you to come out there, you know.
Well, you know what, invitation accepted, Coach Kevin Johnson. I think the world of you and what you've done on a coaching level and as a father. So accept it. I'll be there, okay?
Thank you. Thank you. You have a good
all
one, okay? Blessed day.
You have a good
all right, coaches,
all
thank you. You have a good one, coaches.
Thank you,
awesome,
Coach.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Right. And I'll start with you, Travis, and then go to Coach Reed and then Coach Miller. Your thoughts about the blackness versus the culture as far as this is concerned. Travis, what do you think about that as far as Cam Newton is concerned?
I have a lot of mixed emotions on it, but I really am on Cam Newton's side because of the fact that you have to realize when Cam Newton was at Auburn that his senior year, from the kickoff of the first game to the last zeros of the last game, he went through turmoil off the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He went through turmoil. He went through a whole lot, and he stayed humble. He had a mom and a dad that continued to talk to him. They prayed. You know what I'm saying? You could feel the humbleness when he talked after every game, which is very hard, man. You know, you got to go to practice. You got meetings and this, that, and the other. Then you got this force that's telling you what you did that was so wrong on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Then, you know, and then it shows mm-hmm. week after week. Well, it's just, it shows that, you know, whatever you get, you got to have to pay a price for it. You know, nobody walks through the fire easy. So, you know, I think he just has a lot of charisma. He's having a lot of fun, number one. He's 26 years old, so you got to look at that. And he's having a lot of fun because he worked hard for this. It's hard to get a win in the NFL every week. It's hard. You know, he's playing against other pros, professionals. And for him to master the system that Carolina has in an NFL way, and, you know, for him to – you know, get into the end zone. He's already told you once he gets in the end zone, he's going to get a football to a kid. And he's also said, if you want to see me not do that, then stop me from getting into the end zone.
Yeah,
well, I bring that up to say, you know, Muhammad Ali had a lot of charisma. And he had a lot of confidence in himself. And I just see, you know, I see that in him. I see a lot of charisma, man. He's bringing fun to the game. It doesn't matter who it is. He's just bringing fun to the game. He's having you – it's like must-see TV when, you know, when they play. It was the same way with Michael Vick. It was must-see TV. You got to see this.
Mm-hmm. It is. You know what? He's brought a lot of fun to the game. As a matter of fact, Coach Reed, they talked about in the stadium that there are premium tickets now in the end zone. That is a big deal. People call and request that. And why? Because Cam Newton has given, you know, that what is it called? Giveaway Sunday. And he started that. Now the other players have gotten on board, but this is all a Cam Newton, you know, finding kids in the audience. And do you see these kids' faces? You know, it's not even about race. When he goes and finds a kid, it's about, okay, I found one. Let me go give it to him. Coach Reed, your thoughts.
Right.
Is this culture or is this blackness?
You know, for me, I've been back and forth on this myself because I'm like Coach Johnson. I'm kind of old school when it comes to your players and how they handle themselves when they score. You know, I've always been like, act like you've been there before, get a ball to the ref, and get to the sideline and party. You know, get to the sideline and have a ball. Now, as far as race or culture, I think it's an element of both. And the reason I say that is because Cam does it, but at the same time, you have Gronkowski. Nobody acts as big a fool as he does when he gets in the end zone. You have Aaron Rodgers, you know, because the one woman said the way that Cam was moving his pelvis and all of this.
Mm-hmm.
When Aaron Rodgers does that double check thing, that's nothing but pelvis thrust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like the ultimate pelvis thrust. And there's no backlash There's no backlash at all when they do it. J.J. Watt, you know, when he does something, you know, it's always – and there's no backlash. Now, mm-hmm. with Cam, you know, my biggest thing, and like I said, I think it's culture. It has a lot to do with culture, but it also is rooted in race. My only issue with Cam is this was a good year for the Panthers, so we really didn't see a lot of this. But what you've noticed in years past, what I've noticed in years past, and I love Cam. You know, I've been to his the Cam Newton 7-on-7 before mm-hmm. as a high school coach. I love what he does through the Cam Newton Foundation. But what you always seen, and I understand if you're a charismatic guy, but you're also a leader of men. And mm-hmm. as a leader of men, I think if you're that way, then that's the way you are. But mm-hmm. what we saw in the past was when things aren't going great, you saw Cam sulking. Cam would put that towel over his head, wouldn't talk to anybody. That's a biggie for me. You know, if you're charismatic, then your players are following you and your players are getting energy off of what you're doing. When your energy is down and you're sitting on the bench sulking, like I said, we didn't see it this year because they were winning. You know, I've seen instances where Cam got upset because another player scored a touchdown, you know, and that really kind of it rubs me the wrong way. And like I said, my biggest thing is Cam, just be this way all the time. He's happy this year. Now, let's see what happens next year when they have a 2 or 3 game losing streak. That's what I want to see, how Cam responds in that situation.
I really do think, and I'm a Cam Newton fan via Florida, but, you know, Auburn and all of that, I think he's really matured. I think he's really matured. So I want to see how he carries, no matter what, this is a successful season. Now, if they win the Super Bowl, then he is the face of the Panthers, and he's the face of the NFL, and it changes. But I think this is a new trajectory here, if I may. Let's hurry up and get Coach Miller.
Well, let me just say one thing. Because you say he matured based on this season. This is all I want to see.
I saw maturity last year, too. I didn't see – and I saw the soaking the first couple of years, but I thought I saw a change after the accident last year. Remember that now. I think he became a different person after that accident. I haven't seen that Cam that you're talking about.
Right. Well, I'm just looking forward to next year. I want to see, I said, if they have a – I want to see – how he responds to the adversity, you know, because they only had one game that they lost this year. I want to see the response to the adversity. You're leading these men, then you be the positive leader at all times. You know, and like I say, I'm not saying anything bad about Cam because he's a great mm-hmm. guy. I mean, nobody mm-hmm. does what he does. No one gives the ball to kids every single time that they score a touchdown, except mm-hmm. Cam Newton. You know, so I love what he does. You know, I just want to see as a leader, I want to see you take that next step and lead at all times, 24/7. That's what you do. You lead. Never sulk. Never ever sulk.
Okay. All right. Far from being for me to kind of defend an Auburn Tiger. Coach Miller, let me get you for 30 seconds because we have two more calls. We got to get them in here, and we have 15 minutes left. Willie Miller, your thoughts about race versus culture, and then we're going to get 7236 in here and 0316 in here. Go ahead.
Princess, I'm kind of mixed on it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a combination. It's a race and culture. You know, I think right now with Cam, it's more culture, you know, because he's being who he is, you know. Mm-hmm. And that piece about doing it my way, he's doing mm-hmm. it his way, you know. And they just can't handle that because we can look throughout the league. We don't even have to go back. We can just look through the 2015 season, and we can see – celebration after celebration after celebration, no matter who's catching the ball, who's scoring touchdowns, even J.J. Watts making tackles, standing over people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is a young man that's he's far exceeding any of their expectations. I look back at some of the reports on him coming out of college. He was in a circus offense. He wouldn't be able to take it to the NFL. He wouldn't be able to read defenses.
Yep.
He couldn't make the throws. He had too much fire on the throw. He couldn't it was all he couldn't do this, couldn't do that, could that. He superseded all of that, you know.
Yeah.
His teammates are astonished. They have to run him out of off the campus or out of the meeting rooms. You know, he's the first one there, last one to leave. You know, he's in the defensive meetings. So he's a leader on his team. And so he's superseding anything that they ever expected. You know, what they expected out of Cam was the Johnny Manziel mindset. And you see, that's what they expected out of Cam. They expected him to, you know, see him in the clubs at night, you know, and all that crap. You know, even down at Auburn, he did the same. And timeouts at Auburn, when we were down at the game, he would run to every corner of the stadium and just rev the crowd up, you know. So this is nothing. This is nothing new. He hadn't just started doing this, you know.
Okay.
I watched him play high school basketball here in Atlanta. He did the same thing, you know. So this is him. If it was a change, I might have some issues with it, you know. I might say, hey, well, you know, he got here. But this has been him since I've known him. I've known him since he was 12 years old.
Okay. All right. Very well put. Very well put. All right. Let's get the last two callers in for today. Last four digits is 7236. 7236. Let's get you in here. Welcome to the show. Give us your name. Where are you calling from?
This is Coach Johnson. This is from Texas. What's going on? How are you doing?
What's going on? Say hello to Travis and Gerald and Willie Miller. Say hello to Coach Elliot Johnson out of Galveston, Texas.
Hey, Coach Johnson.
Hey, Francis, I just posted it. Did you hear about the kid from Alvin Manville, the safety, who jumped out of an airplane to show his decision? He jumped
what
out.
What was his? Who did he commit to, Coach Johnson?
Ole Miss. He was the number two safety in the country, Deontay Anderson.
Yep. Wow.
Yes.
He jumped out of an airplane. Okay. Travis, Gerald, Willie, that's pretty cool right there. Let's go ahead and get the last caller into Coach Johnson. Hold on. I want to get everybody in here. 0316. Give us your name and where you're calling from. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. I'm Sweet Sam. How you doing?
I'm good. I can barely.
Chicken meal. With a Coke.
Say that again. I'm sorry. Okay, I think we got some background noise. Okay, we're gonna leave that one out. All right, so he jumped out of the airplane with Ole Miss. Wow, and that's who he committed to. Ole Miss. He may be disappointed. Ole Miss is gonna face some sanctions here pretty soon. But I think that takes it to a different level, don't you think, Coach Johnson? And then I'll go to the rest of the crew.
Oh, I think it's outrageous. I think. That's the ultimate one-up right there.
Yeah, I do agree with it. That's the ultimate one-up. Travis, what do you think about that?
I didn't hear you. Could you say that once again, please?
What do you think about the young man recruiting, committing to Ole Miss and jumping out of the airplane to do it?
it doesn't get any better than that. It's another Cam Newton in the making.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Travis.
How flamboyant is that?
Yeah. I think that takes it to a different level, but I think ESPN is taking National Signing Day to a different level. Gerald Reed, what do you think about this young man jumping out of the airplane?
You know, I was in the Army for 8 years, and I never jumped out of anything. All I can say is couldn't be me, you know, but this day and age of social media is, you know, we had a kid who did a Thriller video, pretty much a nightmare video about recruiting. You know, it's just you give these kids a camera and now they have the audience, you know, with the rest of the world being so caught up on National Signing Day, you know, because we're caught up. We're here. We're talking about National Signing Day.
That's right. We're caught up.
That's it. They take full advantage, you know. So, you know, if the engine's still working and it has fuel in it, I'm not jumping out of it. So,
right. I love it. Coach Willie Miller, bring this home. Your thoughts about the Ole Miss commit jumping out the airplane, and then we're going to get your thoughts, our parting thoughts here for National Signing Day.
Francis, I'm actually watching the video right now. And, yes, he jumped out the airplane.
Wow.
That's just the epitome of over the top.
Yeah.
I heard Coach say it couldn't have been him. It couldn't have been my child. Sometimes you got to pull the rope on, you know.
Yeah.
And so you jump out the plane. Now you got a lot to live up to. Even to your players when you get to the school, they don't look like you the fool jumped out the plane. You know.
Yep.
You know. So what you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table? You know.
Yeah.
That's a little over the top. And not only couldn't it have been me, it couldn't have been my job. You know, mm-hmm. I let you play the hat game, and you know, and I get it. I get the part of, like Coach said, you know, we caught up too. So I get that part, but that's a little over the top there.
And it to me, it's over the top. But I like what you said the best, Coach Miller. I'm not letting my child jump out of a plane. You know what?
No.
Go pick some hats or, you know, do what you say and convey it in a very articulate way, but you're not jumping out of an airplane. So let's go back with the last question. We're about out of time. And, Coach Johnson, I'm going to start with you first. What else are you doing today on National Signing Day? What else are you looking for as the day comes to an end? I know Rashawn Gary is announcing the number one recruit in the nation at 1 o'clock. Some say Clemson, some say Michigan. But what else are you doing today?
Which coach
Johnson
are you talking to? Okay, all
right. I'm talking to you.
This morning we had a couple of kids signed today from Galveston Ball. We had the Blanks kid, Jerry Blanks. He signed mm-hmm. with Stephen F. Austin. We had our 6-foot cornerback signed with the University of Texas at Permian Basin. And we also had another wide receiver to sign with a school, another small school here in Texas. But right now I am watching to see what happens at the University of Texas. I see that they signed Eric Fowler. That's one of the best linebackers in Texas. They signed him and Kyle Porter. It was another kid that University of Texas picked up. And the big running back from George Rich signed with TCU. We're looking at, looking at the fallout and see what happens after this wave of recruits sign. And we're looking at the next wave of kids and see what happens.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Coach Johnson. I appreciate it. Sorry you had to hold on so long. We got kind of out of time here. We've had a really impactful day and a lot of people on. Travis, what are you looking for the rest of the day?
Well, of course, I'm looking for offensive guards and offensive linemen to really, you know, sweeten my deal because I used to play that position.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm just looking at programs that come up. You know, I'm looking for the top programs, of course, to stay on course and keep their program going. But I'm looking for a lot of programs that might have been on the bottom tier to find some really good talent and, propel their programs. You know, whether it's HBCU, Division II, Division III, Division I, all of them. You know, at the Division I level, if you're in the bottom tier this year, I'm sure that, you know, this is how you do it, through recruiting. So I'm looking for, you know, some people to really sweeten their programs.
Okay. Yes, sir.
We had our student, our kid, Alvin. He signed with Texas A&M Corpus Christi.
Okay.
I wanted to say that.
Okay.
Congratulate that. He's one of our wide receivers at Galveston Ball.
Oh, wow. Very good. I'm glad that you were able to give them a shout-out. That's awesome stuff right there. Gerald Reed, what are you looking for the rest of the day?
Well, looking at this just from a – not from a coaching perspective, but as a Razorback fan, you know, I'm hurt, you know, with Cleveland going to Florida. Texas really ransacked us today. They took the running back Porter. I really liked him, Kyle Porter. They took the safety Jones. They also got the defensive lineman Daniels. So all I have today to look forward to now, besides the kids I knew we're going to sign, is we're going to see what Fulton's going to do down in Louisiana. Definitely need a cornerback of his caliber down in Arkansas, but we're fighting against two top programs in LSU and Florida. So maybe his mom will step in and tell him he needs to go to Arkansas. Otherwise, it's, you know, I'm not feeling too optimistic today. You know, I really thought Tyree Cleveland was coming to Arkansas because we had the aunt. The aunt was on our side. When you have the aunt on your side, you're not supposed to lose. But that's all. All I have left is Fulton, and we'll see what happens with him. But it's been a good day. We have, the number 23 ranked class in the nation. That's pretty good for us. You know, one thing I love about Bielema, he always does more with less. He took a little two-star J.J. Watt and turned him into a monster. So, you know, we're going to see what we can do. You know, we don't ever get the five-star athletes in Arkansas, so. I'm pretty optimistic about us doing what we do and eventually taking that top spot in the SEC.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get you, Coach Miller, and I'm going to ask you all your Super Bowl predictions. So hold on right there really quick. But, Coach Miller, what are you looking for the rest of the day? I'm going to definitely text you back and forth after Rashawn and Gary, but what else are you looking for?
Well, obviously, we're looking to see what Derrick Brown is going to do out of Lanier High School. Here in Atlanta, Georgia, big defensive tackle. I think he's narrowed it down between Georgia and Auburn. And so he's going to make his announcement at 3 o'clock. That would be huge. We picked up quite a few kids on the offensive side of the ball. But if I remember, we couldn't stop nobody either. So, you know, we plug up the middle of that line, and I think he'll do it. If Georgia picks him up and him with that Rochester kid, man, that's tremendous for them. So that's what I'm looking forward to. See, you know, hopefully we can pick him up and show up our defense a little bit.
Awesome. Nick Emerson, what are you looking for the rest of the day? You think your Clemson Tigers are done, or do they pick up somebody at 1 o'clock? Nick Emerson.
It is two more spots left on the Dabo Sweeney recruiting board, and I expect to make a big splash in the college football recruiting nation today.
Okay. That's well said there. Hold on right there. We got a caller. I'm going to try to get him in. 9455. 9455, give us your name and where you're calling from. 9455, we got you on air. Welcome to Nevada.
This is Coach Larry Rounds down in Bradenton, Florida. How you doing?
Hey, Coach Rhines, how are you? Former Clemson Tiger. Coach Rhines, when did you play for Clemson?
89 to 92.
Okay. All right. So
89 to 92.
And you have a passionate Clemson Tiger fan on, Anik Emerson. But give me your thoughts. What are you doing on National Signing Day, and what are you expecting more from Clemson today?
Well, I'm hoping we're going to get that Gary kid. I think we got a real good shot at it, and obviously he's a great player. But, you know, I've just been really impressed with what Clemson has done. If you look down the list of their signees, I like a lot. You know, the four guys that they enrolled early were all defensive guys. So, you know, it put us in a position where we're just reloading guys instead of having to try to figure it out, you know. So I like that. I like what they've done there. Wide receiver-wise, they brought in some really good wide receivers, some four-star kids. So, I just like what Coach Dabo is doing. He's a good guy. I've met him personally, and just really, really good people. I like how he is continuing to bring back in the guys from yesterday that played, you know, like the Donnell Wolfers, the Terry Allen, guys like that are actually on the staff now that are helping to really bring that Clemson family together. So I've just been impressed with that.
How were you after the national championship game? Were you pleased with Clemson's showing, and were you surprised at the onside kick?
I thought Clemson played well. They did a great job, but I have to give Alabama credit. Normally, in my opinion, when Alabama gets beat, they get outcoached. You know, and to me, this was a game where Alabama outcoached Clemson. When you look at what they did on the special team, so on and so forth, they did a really good job of really scouting Clemson and not coming into the game and just running you over. They really, in my opinion, outcoached Clemson in a couple areas, special teams, some of the plays that they were calling on offense, you could tell they had sat down and thought about this thing and was like, okay, listen, we have to be ready. We can't just come run over this team. So I was proud of them, but I do believe they got out coached.
Yeah. Now, I want you to, Coach Ryan, I know this is National Signing Day for football, but I want you to give a shout-out to your daughter and what she's doing and where she's going to further her career in education. And I think she's going to run track, am I not mistaken?
Yeah, she signed early in November to full ride to FIU, Florida International, down in Miami. She's going to run the hurdles for them and also be a sprinter. I'm real proud of her. We just actually took her and three other girls on our team up to Ohio, to Kent State, and did an indoor beat, and everybody did well. Three of our girls qualified nationally, including my daughter, and they're all ranked either one or two in the state of Florida right now. So our track team is doing really, really well, and, she's a big part of that. So, yeah, proud of her and the other girls as well.
Well, congratulations as a coach and as a father. I always want to make note of that anytime I can. So now I want to get the panel's vote for the Super Bowl, and then I'm going to come back to you on Facebook. But I'll start with you, Neek, and I'm going to work my way up the board. Neek, really quickly, Panthers, Broncos.
We're going to dab on with the Panthers.
You're going to go with the Panthers?
Yeah, it hurt me to my heart to do that, but yeah.
Okay, I'm going to hurt you to your heart. All right, Larry Ryans, what about you? Broncos, Panthers?
Definitely Panthers. I just think they have too many weapons, and if everybody comes in and they're clicking on all cylinders, it's going to be hard for the Broncos to beat them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to get you, as I got the rest of the Panthers, Coach Ryans, and that is this a racial thing or a cultural thing with Cam Newton and his evolution as a quarterback and the whole showmanship in the end zone? Your thoughts quickly.
I think, in my opinion, I think it's a racial thing. Because if any other quarterback was doing the things that he's doing, playing the way he's playing, it wouldn't even be a discussion. And if we look at the things that other quarterbacks do, you know, they talk about him and he celebrates and he dances. Well, other quarterbacks do a lot of the same things, and it's passion when they do it. They love for the game when they do it. But it's always different when Cam does it. So I just can call a spade a spade. I think it's racial, and I think it's high time that as a country we get over it. The kid can play football. When he came out of college, they talked about his offense was subpar and can he do this or can he do that. Are you serious? The dude is 250 pounds. What is it, 6'3", 6'4"? He can play football, period. Give him time to develop, which they have, and he's developed into a great player. Not to mention, he's won everywhere he's been. If nothing else, he has been a winner everywhere he's been. And not only a winner, but a leader. His teams have followed him, and he's doing the same thing in Carolina. They need to get over.
Agree.
The kid can play.
I think the kid can play, and I agree with this. If you don't want him to dance in the end zone, then stop him. Let me see if this is Ronnie Battle here. 0316. Is this Ronnie Battle that I have with me? 0316. Okay. All right. I just wanted to try one more time to get him in there. We'll continue with the discussion. All right, Coach Johnson, give me Panthers, Broncos quickly.
I think I'm going to go with Broncos because this is the NFL reality TV going on. And I know that the NFL is going to make it. They're going to make it go like they want it to. And the best story is the sheriff riding out winning.
You know what? I'm not going to even follow up with you, Coach Johnson, because you're saying that the NFL is going to manipulate this game into what they want. I can't do it with you, Coach Johnson.
The story. You got to go with the best story.
Travis McGee, Panthers, Panthers, Broncos, quickly.
Panthers, all the way. 35-21, Panthers.
Wow.
No
way
to move for it.
Too much
no
points.
Way nobody
going to
score those 35 points in their game.
Yeah,
35-21, sir.
All right, Gerald Lee, Panthers, Broncos, we're
keep
out of time.
Keep in mind, I got my helmet on.
Princess.
Okay, I know.
My heart, just because of who I am and because of where I'm at, I really want the Panthers to lose just so I can look at everybody facing North Carolina come Monday. I just want to ride down the street and just look at people's faces Monday morning as they go to work. See who's on suicide watch after that, you know, and everything, you know. But that's just the heart talking. The mind says the Panthers gonna win. I want to say it's gonna be a low scoring game because of these two defenses, but the Panthers offense has been humming. And he doesn't even have Kelvin Benjamin this year, and that offense looks good. Ted Ginn is starting to catch footballs now. You know, he normally drops about 5 or 8 passes a game, but he's catching the football now. You know, so
don't jinx
you can't go against that Panthers team. You just can't pick against them. But I'm not. Okay. You get what I'm saying, Prince.
No, you're confusing. You're making my head hurt. You know, Philip Johnson started this with the NFL is going to maneuver. All right, Coach, my sidekick, my co-host Willie Miller, you get the final word.
I'm picking the Panthers. Let me just go and say that. You know, I definitely, like I say, you know, I got Bradley Roby over there. He's a personal friend of mine with the Broncos. But I think it's going to be the Panthers.
Yeah, I agree. I'm picking the Panthers, too. It just seems like a feel-good story. I know the whole thing. I think either way, no matter what the performance, what the score, this is his last game, and he has a Super Bowl. And I'm not going to say that, you know, Cam Newton has another chance because he's so young. Dan Marino had another chance and never got back there either. So I want Cam Newton to do what he does. Nick Emerson, NYFO, congratulations. You're doing a big thing. Larry Ryan, I'm so proud to have you on. Please come back anytime. Elliot Johnson out of Texas, make sure that you stop by anytime. And then my sidekick, Travis McGee on Tuesday nights with HBCU Sports. I appreciate all that you've done. Gerald Reed, thank you so much. And Coach Willie Miller, we'll see you again soon, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
How you doing? Go Tigers.
Right.
Go House. Go House.
Go House.
Go Cowboys.
That's right. Go Cowboys.
Go.
That's
a good man right there.
That's right, go Cowboys. I forgot about
that.
Right.
We got Gerald Reed.
That's right. That's why I have no dog in this Super Bowl fight. So since I don't have a dog in that fight. No, never. Razorbacks and Cowboys. That's where I'm at.
That's right.
More House and Cowboys.
And hey, Gators Spelman and Cowboys. So that's where
there
I'm
you
going.
Go.
So,
hey,
all right,
guys. Come
home. Y'all can't even bring
yourself
to say Dallas. Y'all just say Cowboys. So we can just take any Cowboys.
What are you doing?
The Dallas Cowboys.
You know what? I gave up on the Dolphins, Willie Miller, and you should too. You should go ahead and come on over.
Well, my day gonna come. I don't know when, but it's gonna come.
Yeah, as long as they have Ryan Tannehill, it ain't going far. Okay, guys, I gotta go get some breakfast. I'm hungry. I've been on now for 3 hours with Willie Miller. Thank you. We need to do this again. You all have a great day.
All right. You too, Princess. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Princess.
You're welcome.
That's